is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, preseason week 3 is officially underway. We had some important games last night, right? It feels like real football when James Devlin scores a 1-yard touchdown, right? I mean, that was just like so Patriots. Also, Darius Geis. Yes, we get to see a little bit of Darius Geis, and we get a great quote that Jamie is going to love from Darius Geis. Happy Friday, guys. Happy telethon week. It's over. Good job, Jamie. 6 hours yesterday on the air.
You guys as well. Good job hanging out in here.
Uh-huh.
Did you guys even leave this room?
Yeah, a little bit.
For 24 hours?
A little bit. I thought there was a time. You know, there's an episode of The Simpsons where Homer gets jury duty and he puts on these glasses that have eyes on them so he can fall asleep behind them and look like he's awake. I thought Heath was asleep behind his glasses that he wore. Like by hour number six.
Yeah, nice pillow. You can just fall asleep on your chest there.
Yeah, the chest there was flowing. I hope everybody got a chance to watch the telethon yesterday. How much did we end up raising?
Well, it's not factoring in all of the auction items.
Right.
So I think just with the calls and the donations through that, we were over 18,000.
Yeah, and the auction items, I mean, the spot in the podcast league is going for over $1,500. You could still bid on it. You can bid on a guest spot on our show. So just go to eBay and type in Fantasy Football Today, and you'll see those items. And we want to thank everybody for contributing. Okay, let's talk football here. Whew. Do you know what Christian McCaffrey did in one game without Cam Newton last year?
Don't remember.
He had 20 carries for 100 yards and 12 catches for 71 yards.
So you're saying Cam should not play?
Yeah, give him 32 touches a game and 178 total yards, something like that. Cam, yeah. So what we were reacting to it live, and I was with Will Brinson, who's, you know, a Carolina guy who's bet a lot on Carolina.
Did he cry?
He almost did.
Yeah.
He was like, because Carolina's like plus, he's like 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. He loves those odds. Like, great odds to win the division. And they could be a really good team. So he was distraught. But does it seem like we dodged a bullet here? And what would you recommend to somebody tonight if they were drafting what to do about Cam Newton?
I think you could still draft him as a starter. Sounds like it's going to be. It sounds like it's not a major injury. So it's just one of those things with where your risk versus reward is. If he plays like he's capable of playing, he's going to, you know, be in the conversation for a top five quarterback. And I know, Adam, you've said many times he could be the number one quarterback, which is true. But, you know, we just don't know the full diagnosis yet. So that's the tricky part of it. It's not like, I don't think it's the same thing as Andrew Luck, because Luck has obviously missed a lot of practice time, and this has been a lingering injury for him. This is something new for Cam. But it's a shoulder injured. It's an injured season because of his shoulder that he's coming off of. And then now you have another injury, and you just have to wonder, is he hitting that point in his career where things start to maybe break down?
The great thing is, like, you might not feel comfortable drafting him as the number six quarterback like our rankings suggest. His current ADP on CBS has him as the 10th quarterback off the board after Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Jared Goff. So you don't have to risk much at that cost, and it's not a problem to just draft another quarterback. The stuff that I saw, and obviously we don't have any inside information, the stuff I saw last night seemed pretty positive.
Yeah, I mean, there's an Ian Rappaport report that it's minor. I guess two questions. One, Andrew Luck or Cam Newton right now?
Cam.
And two, the only thing I'm thinking is, gosh, he's probably fine, and he maybe missed a couple games, whatever, you can get by. Is he going to run as much? Because, you know, just like you said, Jamie, it's injuries, and he's only missed 5 games in his career, but Cam is a guy who gets dinged up. So you've got to be a little concerned that the rushing totals
Been a little, and some weird injuries. I mean, he had the back injury from a car accident. So that was, you know, one, but, you know, some concussion situations.
But after the concussion, he didn't run that much. You hate to see the foot do the same thing.
That's kind of been the conversation for him with the last couple of years, is trying to cut back on the running. But, you know, as he has said, you know, a lion's going to be a lion.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's hard to, you know, hold him back from doing. And that's how he got hurt. You know,
does he say a lion's going to be a lion?
Whatever.
Because he should say a panther's going to, like, shouldn't he just say a panther?
I forget whatever.
Or a tiger. He was a tiger.
He was a tiger.
And a gator, too.
That matters. Don't want to be that.
I think Cam is going to play his game.
Right.
You know, I don't know if he's going to have design runs, but he's going to run when things present themselves, which is what happened to him last night. He was on the move and he got tackled. So I think you just have to I just want to Heath's point, because we've talked about this with Luck. If you don't want to take two quarterbacks, you avoid Cam. You know, that's just how you have to approach it. You know, if you're not that guy that wants to invest in two guys, like I have Luck in, I mentioned this keeper league before, that on the waiver wire is Mitchell Trubisky, Sam Darnold. I'm trying to think of somebody else in that 20-ish.
Yeah, somebody emailed me today and said, I have Cam. Should I drop somebody decent for Philip Rivers, Mitchell Trubisky, and one other guy? And I said, you know what? Just wait.
Right.
If they're out there, just wait. Nobody's picking them up.
And
right now.
And in my case, and in some leagues, you have an IR spot. So if they are missing time, depending on how you can manipulate your IR spot, if you don't have to have necessarily the guy on IR,
yeah,
you know, then you can sort of make a different transaction.
All right, Heath, Ezekiel Elliott reportedly received a contract offer that would have made him the second highest paid running back. So what's your take on Zeke?
It hasn't really changed yet. I'd like to know more specifics about this. I'm assuming this came from the Cowboys side of things, and we don't know. Do they mean they're going to make him the second highest paid based on the total value of the contract, based on the guaranteed value of the contract, based on the annual, but it's only 2 years? Like, we don't really know what this means. It's nice to know there's still numbers being exchanged. I've always felt that the most likely outcome is we're going to see Elliott week one. I still think the most likely outcome is that he's going to play week one. If we get to next week and we haven't really heard anything besides this, I'm going to start maybe kind of questioning that.
Amari Cooper does not have plantar fasciitis. I always feel weird saying it.
Fasciitis?
Fasciitis.
Fasciitis? Okay. Fasciitis. According to Dallas Cowboys.
You are a fashionista.
I don't know about that. I'm also freezing, by the way. I mean, this room is just dreadfully cold.
Most people complain.
I've been shivering.
Yeah, it's always too hot. We asked them to turn the air on. It only got cold for the 2 days you were here. It'll be hot again next week.
Well, I'm here Monday, so it'll be hot again on Tuesday. Anyway, he doesn't have plantar fasciitis, which we knew. He said it's like plantar fasciitis, but I don't know. Did he also fall? Because I talked about this with Heath and Dave yesterday. For you, Jamie, did Amari Cooper fall to the back of that tier of wide receivers?
He fell. I don't know where the tier ends, but he's behind the Vikings guys.
Right,
he's behind the Rams guys. He's behind Godwin. He's behind.
Oh, okay. That's farther than I would have maybe thought.
Yeah, he's just inside my top 20.
Okay. And Jordan Reed. That didn't take long. Evaluated for a concussion.
We don't know anything yet.
Yeah, I'm not even going to joke about it. I mean, it sucks. If it were like an ankle injury, maybe I'd like have a laugh, but it sucks.
There's nothing with him.
Got hit in the head. And
worth joking about when it comes to his injury.
No, I wouldn't laugh
I know
at
what
it,
you're
but
saying.
I'm not going to make any light of a concussion, yeah. a potential concussion. So he's had 5 documented concussions since starting college, according to ESPN. He's had 3 in the NFL, and he left last night's game after getting hit in the head, and we'll see what happens. But this is obviously a risky run with Jordan Reed. Damian Harris left with an injury, and we are going to certainly talk about Sony Michel. And Jacksonville wide receiver DJ Chark suffered a concussion, and we are certainly going to talk about Dede Westbrook. Today's sponsors, FanDuel. FanDuel.com/FFT. Sign up on FanDuel. Get a $5 bonus. If you have not signed up yet, go to FanDuel.com/FFT. You know, I've been pumping up Lamar Jackson and maybe even Marquise Brown in week one. He played yesterday, but Miles Boykin looked good too, so he's probably pretty cheap for week one. The Ravens are a team you could look at. Kyler Murray, I think, is someone that people are going to be looking at. That could be a risky one, obviously, but a high upside play against the Lions. And we'll talk about FanDuel throughout the year. SeatGeek is our other sponsor. The promo code is FFT on SeatGeek. Again, the promo code is FFT to save $10 on your first purchase. You'll hear about those two sponsors a little bit later. All right, so I picked the major storylines from last night's games, other than the 80-yard field, which was ridiculous. Can you believe they didn't, like, take the game off the board in Vegas?
I thought it was good symbolism for what week 3 of the preseason turned into. Like, this used to be the week where we learned so many things, and coaches, we did the dress rehearsal, and now it's like maybe 4 or 5 teams are still taking it seriously. Everybody else is a joke.
Before I get to the buy or sell, what's the most important thing you guys learned last night? You were at the Dolphins-Jaguars game.
Yeah, most Darius Geis is healthy, I guess.
How important is it to know, like, how difficult is it to take 3 small kids to a football game?
It wasn't difficult at all.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, they were great. And especially that it was an 8 o'clock start on a school night. My 7-year-old, you know, still is.
Is he in school today?
He's in school today.
Hey, all right. I would have taken it.
And he woke up and had to finish his homework that he didn't get done yesterday. So, no.
Darius Geis is healthy. He got a lot of work on the first four series. He had a great... Oh, here's his quote. He had a great stiff arm, and he also, I think, Keanu Neal went to Florida.
Keanu Neal went to Florida.
All right, so he had like a I don't know, he shouldered
arm on Keanu Neal?
No, but later I guess he had a contact with Neal. He said, the safety, I played him in college. He went to Florida. I'm a little salty with Florida, so I had to give him a little shoulder. Nice. What was the most important thing you learned?
Some confirmation bias here, but D.D. Westbrook is the unquestioned number one wide receiver in Jacksonville.
Yeah, he was impressive.
Yeah. And my favorite thing, and I was writing about it this morning, I expected him to lead the team in targets, no question. My only concern was, are all those targets going to be 5 yards from the line of scrimmage? And they went deep with him twice. Now, he didn't catch either one of them, but they was pretty close to connecting. I hope that's a part of the offense. If he gets 120 targets and he's getting one or two shots per game downfield, we might still be too low on him.
The only thing we got to see is where Marquise Lee's role is.
Right. And I don't, like, that might be 3 or 4 weeks before we see that.
And Chark has the concussion, too. Also in that game, I mean, I have all these things in my notes, but I might as well just spitball. Leonard Fournette had 3 targets and 2 catches.
Yeah, he had one nice run. The offensive line didn't do him any favors in the game. But they certainly tried. There was one that looked like he was about to get blasted if he caught it, and he just kind of...
Yeah, weak preseason.
I think it was, I don't think that's his mentality, but, you wonder if it was just like, I'm good.
It's his fantasy owner's mentality. And, all right, yeah, is there something else from that game? I don't know. All right, we got a lot more. Oh, the big thing that I learned. So the telethon draft that we did with industry guys, and the fantasy footballers were great, and they came on the show. They were awesome on the show yesterday on the telethon. They took Devontae Freeman around, too. So first play of the game, he gets a carry. He gets called back. It was a nice carry, called back on a hold. Second play of the game, he gets a catch, like 8 yards downfield.
He was lined up, I think, out wide.
Yeah. But, man, Ito Smith was in on that drive. Ito Smith had a short yardage carry on that drive. Freeman only played one drive. Then after that, the ensuing drives was Ito Smith and Brian Hill. This is not... It doesn't look like, based on all the history in Atlanta, the last 2 years of history in Atlanta, I should really clarify, a typical running back one workload. I just think you really have to factor in the other guys. Well, Ito Smith mostly. Do you guys agree? Because, I mean, it's just a lot of splits, a lot of multiple, not multiple backs at the same time, but on a particular possession, seeing either Smith and Freeman or Smith and Hill. I didn't like seeing that personally as a Freeman owner. Dave's been worried about that all offseason.
I think Dave's contention is more Freeman's injury track record, more so than somebody else working in.
But in that regard, that they won't give him the workload, I thought that's where.
Maybe so. I always thought Dave's argument against Freeman was just the injury history. But I think that, look, they've always kind of taking the approach with Freeman on the team of using multiple guys. Now, obviously, that was Tevin Coleman, who's a different player, I think, than what they have on their team right now. I don't know if Ito Smith, Brian Hill, or Kadri Allison can get to that level. Maybe they can. I think it's not necessarily indicative fully of what we're going to see in a full game, because they're going to, I assume, want to lean on Devontae Freeman more so than the other guys. They're going to give guys work. It's just that I think the nature of how they kind of take a kid glove approach with him. But in the third preseason game, do they want to put him out there for 70% of the touches?
But it's the last 2 years.
Got him projected at 53% of the carries, 9% of the targets for the team. And that gets me to 264 touches if he plays 16 games. That's 16 touches per game.
And that's fine. So, in 2017, he had 196 carries and 36 touches, but only in really 13 games.
About the pace he's had him on?
Yeah, probably something similar to that. And he was the 13th best running back in fantasy while missing almost three full games.
If you're looking at it, the show, and you're seeing where our rankings are, so Freeman's right now is the consensus behind Chris Carson, ahead of Damian Williams, Josh Jacobs, Marlon Mack, and this is PPR. So, you can certainly debate the three guys behind him in terms of what their workload may be. We're getting reports about Marlon Mack potentially being a three-down guy. Factor Andrew Luck's injury in. Who's better, Freeman or Mack? It's debatable. Jacobs you know, we didn't get to see him again last night because of the field situation. Who knows if he was going to play anyway. So we have really a small sample size of a rookie. Upside is there, sure. But, you know, again, comparing them, it's probably a debate that a lot of people are going to have. And then Damien Williams as well, of what's going to happen with the workload there. So that's, I think, where he kind of fits in. You know, he's in that round three, potentially round four range. I don't think he gets to round four, but round three. And do you want to take the risk on a guy that is proven to have the potential, because we've seen it, to be a top three running back that has, you know, questionable guys behind him, no matter how they're using those guys, but a great pass attack, a great offensive line, potentially, if the young kids and the new players all sort of fit together. So there's a lot to like about Devontae Freeman. And yes, Adam, there may be some usage situations that come up, but I would imagine that, you know, when the coaching staff's feet are to the fire in a real game, are they going to turn to Brian Hill? Are they going to Smith? Are they going to turn to Devontae Freeman?
Yeah. I don't think that most drafters, by the way, are going to be taking Chris Carson over Freeman. Would you agree? Like, you guys have it ranked that way, right?
I have Freeman over Carson.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
I have Carson over Freeman. But I think you're right to a certain extent, although, you know, this is the time where the late push kind of changes ADP.
Yeah.
And Carson's momentum of everything that you've heard, read, shown you last year, and the push, this is when the tidal wave comes in of, you know, the people changing things, but that's one I could see changing.
90% of our drafts haven't happened yet.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't know that people are as bought into Chris Carson as we are. Specifically Dave, who's got him as a round two pick.
I think if you've been reading stuff lately, I mean, you know, I led my bus column apologizing to Chris Carson essentially because I was so down on him, given Rashad Penny my thoughts that he was going to be more involved and also having the minor knee surgery this offseason. One thing I just want to go back to with Devontae Freeman because it ties in. So we had Roddy White here yesterday as part of our telethon, and I asked him, you know, why doesn't Julio get more touchdowns? And he said, which is interesting, you know, because we always talk about what they do inside the 10. He said they never really took shots 25 and in. Mm-hmm. That they get to the 25-yard line, and then they would kind of just be a little bit conservative, and then they get down inside the 10, and then, you know, he's getting triple-teamed, and they're just going to run it in. If that continues, this is where Devontae Freeman has a chance to
100%
win.
100% right. He's always been great in
goal line and red zone work.
Yeah.
But one thing Roddy said was, if you're a Julio Jones backer, is the first thing I said to him, he goes, Dirk! You know, and it's Dirk Cutter as the offensive coordinator. It's the only time that Julio Jones has had double digits. It's only 10, but it's the only time he's had double digit touchdowns in his career, when the last time Cutter was the offensive coordinator there. So if you're looking at Freeman, you want to hope that it's still the same type of offense, that he gets those goal line opportunities. Obviously, I think a lot of people would rather see Julio Jones get 10 touchdowns, though.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to do some buy or sell with Darius Geis, with Sony Michel, with Jacoby Myers, who had another big game, with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Yes, that is how you pronounce it. He had 8 catches for 104 yards and a touchdown for the Eagles. And some more from the preseason. We got a lot of your questions. And I'm just going to stop talking and take a break. We'll be right back. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Buy or sell here on Fantasy Football Today. Buy or sell. Darius Geis will get 15 carries a game.
Starting week one, over the course of the season, I'll sell. But I think there will come a time, maybe after week four, maybe after week eight, where we do see Geis get 15 carries a game.
Sell.
Are you moving him up after last night?
Yes.
Yeah, he'll get a little boost.
Miles Sanders or Darius Geis?
Sanders.
I'll probably have Geis higher.
Justin Jackson or Darius Geis?
Geis.
Jackson.
Give me your overall thoughts on Darius Geis right now, what we should be doing.
It's a bad team, so that limits the upside. but they were actually a pretty good team for a running back last year. The defense was pretty good. The offensive line wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be. I still believe in the talent. I still think he's a buy in dynasty. His upside, though, is probably like top 25 running back, and the other guys in that area may have more upside.
With Peterson still on the roster and Thompson, it limits the upside for me for this season.
Adrian Peterson, 16th in non-PPR, 19th in PPR last season. Really faded. The last eight games, he averaged just 3.7 yards per carry. So, yeah, and the Thompson thing, right? You know, not going to catch a ton of passes, but he really did look pretty good. So it was a good, at least, it was, you know, hey, I'm still here, Darius.
Like, I think if you're taking a chance on the Bucks running backs, I'd rather have Geis. If you're buying into, like, the guy I moved him ahead
really?
Of last night. I think.
Oh, for sure.
Well, why? Because, he's definitely better. Like, if he were in Tampa Bay, I'd be thrilled. But,
oh, God.
But yeah. At least, I'd rather have him than Peyton Barber because I'm out on Barber. But I think, you know, I make the case for Ronald Jones over Geis just because of the offense. That's the only reason why.
But is he still the guy, is he the guy in the offense? That's the problem, because I think we're seeing they're going to use three guys. You know,
but aren't the Redskins?
Yeah, but I think then it comes down to talent. You know, so offense is obviously a favorable situation, but there also is the chance that if Dwayne Haskins comes in and
he has made some of the most impressive throws of the
season. Yeah, but gosh, he's
yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead, finish.
But no, he's not playing with the starting group enough to see if he can, you know, make some plays. Not that it's a great starting group, but, you know, if they had some more talent, I think that could help this offense and potentially make it a little bit more explosive.
The other thing I'll say, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier, they, like, for a running back, I'm not so sure Washington wasn't a better offense than Tampa Bay last year.
But it's a different offense, though.
It's a slightly different offense.
If Ronald Jones can step up and win the job, you know, by week four, he just takes it over from Peyton Barber, I think he's going to be very valuable.
But you also have this knee situation that he may be dealing with, too.
I'm tired of, like, getting a little concerned about guys being dinged up. I mean, he and Mike Evans, they both seem fine, especially Evans. You know, we're 2 weeks away from the start of the season. That is not a factor when I draft, because that is a long-term play. You know, I'm not starting Ronald Jones week one. It's a long-term play.
I would say the same thing about Geis, and I think in that case, you'd rather have the more talented player.
Yes. In almost any situation, yes. I just don't know how much I want the guy on what I can think will be the worst offense in the NFL. But you're right. But
Dolphins play last night, I would.
You're right. They're bad. And that makes me wonder how much I want Kenyon Drake, but at least he'll be in the passing game. All right, let's go to our next one. Buy or sell. And I think you're probably, most people are going to take Geis over Ronald Jones, so I get it. Please don't listen to me. Sony Michel will get, I think I had 16 carries a game, maybe 17. What I did with the producers. Sony Michel, buy or sell, 17 carries per game. He averaged 16.1 carries per game last year. 16 is right about where LeGarrette Blount and Stephen Ridley were in years where they were featured. So can Sony Michel better that and get to 17 carries a game, which would be really, really good?
Sell.
Sell.
All right, let's bring it down to 16.
Sell.
I'll sell, but you're really close there. 15.5, somewhere in there.
I think it depends on Harris. If he's hurt, then yes. If he's fine, then 15, I think, is where it is, because James White's going to play, and who knows with Rex Burkhead what he's going to do. I think it's funny. It went from one of the worst receiving cores to, you know, looking much more impressive, especially if I'm hesitant to say it, but if Demaryius Thomas has anything left in the tank, you know, that's still a guy that the Patriots can take through the car wash and turn something into. And Jacoby Myers is looking like a player right now. And, you know, obviously what Gordon and Edelman should be able to do. Plus, you know, I know it's not what you think of Rob Gronkowski, but if Benjamin Watson has that Saints season that he had once upon a time, 2015, I believe it was.
Uh-huh.
2016.
Then
it's a better.
So wait, receiver. What does this have to do with Michel?
That they're not going to have to rely
on a
ground and pound team like everybody was expecting.
They looked like what we expected from them yesterday, but they didn't have Edelman. They didn't have Gordon for sure. It was undoubtedly a good day for Sony Michel. I mean, the yards per carry wasn't great. He did not get in from the 1 yard line. He had a chance. He had a first and goal carry from the 4. He got down to the 1. They gave him another try on second goal. He got stuffed, and then he was in the game on third and goal. And then it was Devlin time, and Devlin scored, and Michel didn't. But he looked good. The Patriots announcers, my God, huge homers by the way, said he looked good. And yeah, and then you get the injury to Harris.
Who are you? What? YPC for life. He had 36 yards on 10 carries.
But he had short yardage work.
He got stuffed at the goal line. He failed in the short yardage work.
Not entirely. He had 2 third down and short conversions.
Oh. Okay.
So he did get those first downs, but at the goal line, he failed.
And this offensive line is going to look out better once they make the trade for Trent Williams.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so Sony Michel or Tevin Coleman?
Coleman.
Sony and non-Tevin and PPR?
Tariq Cohen or Sony Michel?
I take that back. Tevin and both.
Okay. PPR, Sony Michel or Tariq Cohen?
Michel and both.
I'll take Cohen and PPR.
Okay. Guys, I apologize. Let's go a little faster here so we can get to all the good stuff we have. Buy or sell, either Jacoby Myers or Philip Dorsett is worth drafting.
Sell.
Okay.
Sell.
J.J. Arcega.
Myers in Dynasty.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, certainly in Dynasty, but in Seasonal is worth drafting. Do we call it seasonal in football, or
redraft?
We just call it redraft in
redraft.
Football? Yeah.
Sell.
Still a baseball guy sometimes. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, sell? Okay. Buy or sell, Ito Smith.
It does hurt the rest of the guys that if he's going to play.
Yeah. He's a big, good-looking dude, like, as a football. I don't know what he actually looks like, but he looks good on the field. Ito Smith should be drafted by the non-Devontae Freeman owners. Buy or sell?
Late round flyer.
Yeah, bye. I think he and Jamal Williams are the two guys that are often there in like the 13th or 14th round. And I don't really know why, because they have injury prone running backs they're sharing with. And there is a chance, especially for Williams, that he just ends up in an 18 touch situation for 3 or 4 weeks. They should both be drafted.
Buy or sell, Leonard Fournette will have 50 catches this year. He will join the 50 catch club.
Bye.
Oh, gotta go bye.
That's a good number. I'd probably sell, but I think it'd be really close.
Okay, that'd be very good. Buy or sell, Daniel Jones should be ahead of both Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins in Dynasty rankings.
Sell.
Sell.
Looks so good.
He does.
He looks so good. Holy cow.
Let's hurry.
Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network posted, he tweeted today, the New York Post cover after the draft and the New York Post cover last night.
Oh.
And Gettleman holding his hands up. And I think it was Blue's Clues or something. Blue's Clueless.
That's funny.
Was the headline after the draft. And then the heir apparent was the headline yesterday.
Very, very interested to see him in a real game. But he's looked really good. Any other preseason winners, losers? We've talked about Geis.
Kalen Ballage looked awful.
Can we just say it was Jacksonville and give him an excuse? 12 carries, 17 yards?
If you want to. How many excuses are we going to make for that team, though?
He looked awful in his first preseason game other than one run.
So I would say Kenyon Drake is a winner.
Kenyon Drake is jogging and out of his boot.
Yeah. Okay, Kenyon Drake, Darius Geis.
Drake.
Yeah, I'll still take Drake.
Kenyon Drake or Tariq Cohen? Sorry to keep going back to Tariq Cohen. I just think it's an interesting point in the draft. Those guys are available.
Cohen right now just because he's healthy.
I'll take Drake and non, but I'll take Cohen and PPR.
Okay, how about Corey Clement getting all that work? Does it matter? Okay. How about Marquise Brown? 3 catches for 17 yards and a carry, which was immediately crushed in the backfield, -4 yards. And Miles Boykin only had 1 catch. We turned it into a 44-yard gain. I don't know. I can think my big takeaway is something you've been saying a lot, both of you. It's just good for Lamar Jackson to have these weapons. Yeah.
I'm glad Marquise Brown was healthy enough to play in a
and
game.
And Jackson not playing is really hard to judge how this would look.
And it seemed like with Marquise Brown that they were trying to, you know, short passes, let him use his speed. Didn't quite work. 3 catches for 17 yards, but, you know, good to have him back on the field. Preston Williams, I think hype is done.
Easy.
Look, 2 targets, no catches. Anything
that
else?
That offensive line's a disaster.
80-yard field.
The best player in that game was Josh Allen.
Yes, I wanted to talk about a couple of defensive players. Josh Allen for the Jaguars and Brian Burns for the Panthers are both having very impressive falls. It's not spring anymore.
It's summer.
It's summer.
Fall camp, summer camp, season between. Yeah. And Alan brings up an interesting point that I think this is the first year we've done this in our IDP leagues, and I didn't even realize it until our recent IDP draft. We have players listed at eligible at multiple positions.
Ooh, now defense. Who's the baseball guy?
Josh Allen is now eligible at both defensive line and linebacker.
Cool.
It makes him much like any player that is kind of a linebacker but has defensive line eligibility instantly becomes much more valuable once they get that defensive line eligibility. So look for that in your draft room if you're in an IDP draft.
And then, correct me if I'm wrong, but in an IDP league, any player who's listed as a linebacker but really plays defensive end, doesn't really get that many tackles, has to be great to be worth playing, like a Jadeveon Clowney, right? Because the linebackers, you're looking for tackles.
Right. If Jadeveon Clowney was only a linebacker, he'd be almost useless.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Yeah.
Von Miller.
Not that good an idea.
Not that good an idea.
But if he were a defensive lineman, he would be.
Awesome. Incredible.
Yeah, right. That's why when Chandler Jones moved to defensive line, he was great. And now he's back at linebacker and not so great.
Did you say Daniel Jones? Can we talk about him again?
I said Chandler Jones.
I know. Oh. I was just being out.
How are we not talking about Daniel Jones? I mean, come on. Like, he's a superstar. It's pretty. Actually, he made some really good throws. He really. I'm very, very happy about it. There's one other guy I want to ask you about that we pretty much don't talk about ever. Chris Thompson. How much value does Chris Thompson have? He had 3 carries for 20 yards and 2 catches at Atlanta. What do you think?
I mean, he's a great late-round pick. He's just basically free on draft day. The problem is how many games are going to get out of him because, you know, he unfortunately can't make it through a season. And what will they eventually do with Geis in the passing game? You know, will that be something that they can increase his usage? But I think Chris Thompson's great at his value.
Yeah, I think our editor, George Maselli, it was 3 days ago, said, hey, do you remember what Chris Thompson did to start last year? He had like 45 fantasy points in the first 2 weeks of the season.
And then the year before that, he was great too.
Oh, he was like one of the best running backs in fantasy the first 6 weeks. So that's the nice thing about him is if you draft him, you'll probably be able to use him in PPR until he gets hurt. It's kind of like the argument I was making for Jordan Reed.
Yeah, all right, Chris Thompson, take a look at him late in your PPR drafts. When we come back from this second and final break of the show, 5 minutes of tweets. I've got, I think, 18 tweets. We're going to put you guys on the clock and see if we can get through all of them in 5 minutes. We have some more news items to get to, some players that we pretty much never talk about, an absolutely awesome email that I want to read at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. But 5 minutes of tweets coming up right after this.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
You are on the clock. 5 minutes of tweets. You only get 5 minutes, not 30 minutes. From Jordan, 12-team PPR. Does this sequence from spot 11 make you feel good or bad? Kelce Hill, Diggs Edelman, Tariq Cohen, and Deshaun Watson. Kelce Hill, Diggs, and Edelman, Cohen, and Watson, 12-team PPR. You like that start?
I'm in love.
One running back. It's Cohen.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the difference is that your Cohen thoughts, right?
I just don't like Kelce in the first round.
All right.
I mean, if it was Hill, Kelce, like Hill, Diggs, and Edelman as your 3 wide receivers.
Pretty good.
And the best tight end and the second best quarterback.
From Brett, Chubb or Le'Veon in half PPR?
Chubb.
Le'Veon.
By the way, I have no idea what time we started this segment, so.
I thought there'd be like a clock.
Yeah, I know. In the future, we will be able to have a countdown, not today. From Fantasy Football All Day, why not take Bell at 8th overall in half PPR? You guys are lower than most of the industry.
Just nervous about his usage and talent around him.
From Ron Adams, Cup or Godwin?
Godwin.
Cup.
From Mike, have my choice of draft position in a 12-team non-PPR league. Which would be best?
3.
3 is my favorite. After that, it's 10 through 12.
From A-Train, can you make the case for drafting James Conner over one of the elite wide receivers with a 6th pick of a 12-team half PPR league?
I could make the case. I don't like doing it, but yeah, it's not hard to make that argument. He was a top 6 running back last year in 13 games.
If they don't give work to other guys, he'll be fantastic again.
Yeah, you'll love him there. Phil, is Kyler Murray a trap play in DFS for week 1 against the Lions?
Yes.
I think I was talking to Mike McClure about this actually, because I think Kyler might be currently one of his favorite plays.
He is, yeah.
I think it may be determined by how this game against Minnesota goes, because if it's a disaster again, then his ownership will be lower, and I'd be more interested in playing him. If he's going to be high-owned, though, no way.
Gotcha. From Jason Springs, for drafts, what's best, setting the draft order before the draft ahead of time or letting it auto-set 30 minutes prior to the draft?
Ahead of time.
Yes.
Yeah, agreed. Get a little prep there. from Lakeland Cox. Is it more or less important in 14-team leagues to get a second quarterback in the draft?
Same.
Yeah, I don't think it's determined by the number of teams. I think it's more determined by how many backups your league drafts and by how good your starting quarterback is.
Yeah, I guess the question is, like, it's all about the waiver wire. So, right? I mean, he's saying in a 14-team league, the waiver wire will be thinner. I get that. Yeah. I'd probably, in most, and not in our leagues, because I know we'll mostly just draft one quarterback.
Well, you like to draft three, three quarterbacks.
I draft
10-team leagues.
That's such a lie. Okay, let's see. From, I read that one. From Jay. Rank these players in PPR. Jamison Crowder, Geronimo Allison, John Brown.
Crowder, Brown, Allison.
Brown, Crowder, Allison.
Wow. Crowder ahead of Allison. That is quite a preseason change. I'll still take Allison. Give me the guy who's got more upside in that Packers offense. From Doug, would you prefer to draft consistent contributors for your bench or high-ceiling, low-floor players?
Depends on your starters. If your starters are a little questionable, then I think you want more consistent. If you love your starters, then you take shots.
I think that might be sort of like the Jamison Crowder versus Geronimo Allison discussion, right? Would you say Crowder would be more consistent potentially and Allison would have more upside?
No.
No?
They both have similar upside.
Really?
If you look at the track record of Adam Gase's slot receivers, I mean, in his 3 years, no team caught more passes out of the slot than the Dolphins.
That's pretty good. That's very good. Well, that was Jarvis Landry, though.
Different player.
For two of those years, mm-hmm. Anyway. Okay, lost my place in the notes. Here we go. Walking with Elias. Rank these PPR. Sony Michel, Dalvin Cook, Chris Carson.
Dalvin Cook, Chris Carson, Sony Michel.
Yep.
From Gump, is Todd Gurley a top five pick?
No.
Ooh.
From Jordan, in rookie-only dynasty drafts, do you prioritize drafting for holes in your roster or general talent that can be flipped later?
General talent that you can use later.
I'm mostly going best player available, yeah.
From Blitz Craig, how early are you willing to draft Emmanuel Sanders?
Seven.
Eight.
From round seven, eight, yeah.
Seventh overall.
From Devin, Clorox or Tide for heavy stains? P.S. My fantasy is good, clean-smelling clothes.
Clorox.
I give it to my wife, and she does like a baby powder treatment. She's very good at getting stains out. Yeah. John Taman says, percentage chance of Golladay catching 10 touchdowns with 1,000 yards?
60%?
The touchdowns I'm kind of worried about.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go 45.
Yeah. Last one from Ben. Is DeAndre Hopkins a number one overall pick?
No.
He's not, but I don't think you're an idiot if you do that.
All right, news and notes. Kenyon Drake is out of the walking boot. Oakland and Green Bay played on an 80-yard field, and it's just like, dude, they have goalposts in the end zones that they had to move. You didn't anticipate this might be a problem in the Canadian League field? I mean, come on. Rashawn Gary was carted off the field, Green Bay's linebacker. Does it seem like he avoided a serious injury? We're not sure. It was a collision, I believe. I don't think it had anything to do with the field, but a little hazy on the details there. But that's their first-round pick, Rashawn Gary. Patrick Chung was arrested for cocaine possession, safety for the Patriots. Pretty important player for them. I think they played one game. They played one game without him. It was a Lions game. I want to say it was a Sunday night at the Lions. They didn't look very good. And I remember Chris Collinsworth being like, well, you're seeing them without Patrick Chung. I believe they were also missing a big pass rusher in that
game. Was it this Super Bowl or the last Super Bowl where he broke his arm? This one, right?
This one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arizona signed Michael Crabtree. Nope. Okay.
And it's not good for the receiving core.
Anthony Miller could be limited in the first few weeks of the season, according to the Chicago Tribune. He has an ankle injury. And Nick Chubb will be used a little more in the passing game, according to Cleveland's running back coach, Stump Mitchell. It's always nice when it comes right from the coach, not from a reporter. That is good. Guys who had, you know, recently good pub for their camps. Ty Johnson will be a change of pace running back for Detroit, according to ESPN. Same thing for Justice Hill for Baltimore. Before the injury, Damian Harris, according to ESPN, was having a good camp. The Patriots were pleased. Same thing for Keyshawn Johnson in Arizona. And then we already mentioned Josh Allen and Brian Burns, two rookie pass rushers who have been really good. Their teams are happy. Heath, I want to read one email, and then I asked you for a little homework assignment, which you did, which is nice. And you gave me, you're going to give us some guys who are too high in ADP and some are too low. But here's the email of the day, number one, from Annalise Rowe. What's up, gentlemen? I'm an operations officer for security forces in the Air National Guard. Basically, a badass female sky cop. It's my second year playing fantasy football, and last year I took second in my one league to my husband, of all people. Sheesh. And I picked up a team halfway through the year, and I took him from second to last to the finals. Let's just say that I did well because I listened to your podcast every single day, even when on vacation in Hawaii or while working out at the gym. And I was always in the loop because you guys kept me up to speed. Shout out to Brady, who referred me to your podcast. Thank you, Brady. I think it would be cool to be part of your podcast league as a gunslinging, warfighting, fantasy football loving gal. Oh, and did I mention we have a baby on the way due just after the Super Bowl? Maybe if you add me to the league, we will name him Adam. I love a chance to be in your league. Hoo-ah. That's a cool email.
So, wait. She's in.
Well,
no, she's
hold
in.
On.
No.
She's definitely in one of the leagues.
She's in one of the leagues, yes. Because I'm starting to give away too many spots. Not to mention, that's like the fifth military email I've gotten, and I always try to get at least one military member in.
You should do a military league.
Just do an extra league.
If I am doing an extra league.
No, an extra one.
An extra.
Do another one.
If I had enough
military. How many leagues are you playing? Yourself.
I think I'm going to be over 10 this
year. Okay, you need to get to 15.
So. No, I'm not. No.
So,
always like gives me more things to do.
So, you don't do enough.
I will make yesterday more the leagues first, that I won't be in.
Yesterday
I'm
was
fine
the
with
first
that.
Day that you actually worked the full day.
I worked 6 a.m. to 10:30 p.m.
He couldn't believe it.
You actually worked the full day of your life.
Please.
I think, well, since you left Florida, I think you should do a military league.
Hey, look, I'll do a military league if we get enough. But I only have like 5 or 6, I think, right now. And I'll try. You know what? We have a producer, Ben Schrager, military league. Make it happen. So hopefully you can help with that. But thank you for the email, Annalise. And I already told her she will be in one of the three leagues. The three leagues are the 14-team PPR OG podcast league.
That's the one people are bidding on.
Yes. Okay. Which gave up a spot. That's the one that also I owed two people from previous bets that were made from last year. The guy who won the NFL draft contest is in that league. So it's just, there weren't that many spots. We have the 10 team for the people.
That's the problem right there. That is the problem right there. We don't need to have a 10 team league. We're really.
Yeah, we do need to have a 10 team.
We have all these extra people. We don't need
it. That's why I'm making a third league.
We're going to change that.
No, please.
We're going to make it a 16 team.
No.
You don't have any 16 team leagues.
I don't want a 16 team. No, please.
In my 16 team league, this happened. It'll be perfect.
I'm losing control. Okay, 10 team league. And then we're doing a 12 team league that's just for the listeners, plus our podcast. Producer Ben is going to be running it, and he's going to be in it. Ben, I hope you're okay with that. Heath, give me some players who are too high in average draft position.
16. How much fun is a 16-team league going to be? No. It'd be awesome. Too high in average draft position. I've got 5, and we've talked about some of these guys a lot. David Johnson has an average draft position of 10th overall. I don't think he should be a first-round pick. Todd Gurley is creeping up. He's up to 15th. He's going in the first round of some drafts. I know you said yesterday that you think...
I said this off the air, but it didn't count.
We're going to be look silly, and he's going to be the number
one.
Said
to me on the radio show.
Oh, that's what you were talking about. Yeah. I definitely think Todd Gurley could be the best player in fantasy. I mean, we all think Todd Gurley can be the best player in fantasy, but you can't draft him that way.
So,
who would you take, Johnson or Gurley?
Johnson. I have my father son league with my 7-year old this weekend, and so the kids have to pick the first 3 rounds. So I'm going to lead the witness a little bit, and I told Ronan, my 7-year-old, that I'm going to give him, and I told us all the fathers, they can give the kids names, and they can just pick the name. So we're taking either one of the 4 running backs or Juju, because he loves Juju Smith-Schuster. Okay. He met him at the Pro Bowl, you know, all those things. We're picking 5th, so that'll be our 5th pick. So I said we get to round 2. I'm just going to tell you, and I'm, again, leading the witness. I said, I'm going to give you 5 names. The first name I say is the one that I want you to pick. And I'm going to give you 5 names. So we practiced in the car today, and I told him, Nick Chubb. I was just giving an example. I said, Nick Chubb, Le'Veon Bell, James Conner, Todd Gurley, 10-team league. He goes, okay, so we'll take Todd Gurley. I said, you're not understanding what I said to you. The first name I say is the
smart
one.
Kid.
The one that he's like, but Todd Gurley's going to be the best.
Yeah, you better just start saving up for the University of Miami. This kid is a bright, shining star.
You can't spell gross.
all right. Who else?
Antonio Brown. I didn't like him in the second round. I don't still like him at 27 overall. I'm fine with him at like 37. Like that 3-4 turn, I think, is okay. None of our drafts does he make it to the 3-4 turn. There's always one guy that is happy taking him at the end of the second, start of the third. the feet can be fine. The helmet can be fine. I'm still worried at him that's this cost.
I think it's going to be so interesting to see these questionable guys and the ADP.
Oh, yeah.
In a week. I mean, it's going to be so interesting.
Chris Harris, who was going to come on our show, he was like, you guys are dumb for being so down on it.
Yeah, he called all of us in the league dumb.
Yeah.
And I have a funny Nando email in regard to that league.
Okay. Nando, gosh. Nando took – I called him last night because I didn't get a chance on the telethon to ask him why he took – in the fourth and fifth round, the back-to-back picks, Evan Engram and O.J. Howard.
Said it on the show.
But I didn't hear it. So I was eating a sandwich at the time. But he
didn't really pay much attention when he wasn't on.
He said, no, I did. He said, it's not a terrible point. Like, he said that Evan Engram and Howard could both be better
on the show,
than the guys in the fifth round.
He said on the show that when you compare them to the receivers in that group, that they're just as good. The problem is that you're locking yourself.
You're locking your flex.
I hate your guts.
Why?
2 years ago, we did an auction, and I ended up with Travis Kelce and Gronk, and you told me how stupid.
I hated it. I don't like it.
For having a tight end as a flex. And
you're
then Nando takes a fourth and fifth round tight end, and you say, you know, he's got a good point.
No, he does. He does have a good point, but it's still a bad pick. But at least he had a rationale for it.
It's a bad strategy if you are not convinced that you're going to. Or you're not sold on having to play the tight ends every week because you're just, you know, locking in that spot.
Okay, go ahead, idiot moron. Who else?
two more. Jared Cook and Eric Ebron.
Yeah.
Like,
this
Jared,
is CBS
Jared
ADP,
Cook's
right?
a sixth-round pick in CBS. Ebron is, too. They're both going in the sixth round.
Yeah.
So
a bad plan.
I don't see any water for you, but
shoot.
Pete Prisco was in New Orleans, spent some time with Sean Payton, spent some time with Drew Brees.
Oh, he's streaking.
And raving about Jared.
Don't care.
I'm just telling you. They,
do you care?
No. But like I said to Pete, and I said, you know, what I've been saying, that Jared Cook is the bridge tight end.
Yeah.
You get the first six. That side looks great. Look on the other side of the bridge. Not so attractive. And Jared Cook's kind of like, eh.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's where do you have him ranked? Because he's seventh, James?
Oh, he's seventh, yeah.
Yeah. But, so when are you comfortable taking him? How far ahead of Delanie Walker and let's say Jordan Reed is healthy.
Far.
Like he should be an eighth round pick. And okay. Delanie Walker should be a 10th or 11th round
yes.
pick.
Yes.
What about Jordan Reed? Assuming health.
Same place.
As Walker.
Reed's
Walker.
Fall.
Yeah. All right. Underdrafted.
One guy is still on this list. We can just leave the same graphic up. Hunter Henry is going after Jared Cook and Eric Ebron. There's some momentum for Henry to move up a little bit in this tight end rankings, not just ADP. I think there's a chance he gets Eric Ebron or Evan Engram's targets with better efficiency.
The fun thing again, and this is why I'll say I'll pass on the top three guys unless you're getting Ertz or Kittle in the middle to the end of the third round, is I would not be shocked if any of Howard, Engram, or Henry are better than two of those guys at much better value.
Yeah, I think Kelce's the only one that I feel confident is going to be better than that group.
Barring an injury, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Four more. Or I don't know. You have five?
I've got four more. Latavius Murray. We've talked about him and talked about him, about what a great value he is. He's not moved. He's still available in the eighth round, 92.7 ADP.
And Pete said that Sean Payton told him they are not going to increase Kamara's workload.
You know, I'm just slight tangent here. I'm very interested in YPC for Latavius Murray because Mark Engram has
been. Four.
But that's the thing. Mark Engram has been a stud in terms of yards per carry. Latavius Murray has been four, right? Almost every year,
Murray
right around four.
And a terrible Vikings offense.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
years in a bad Oakland team.
This is where you find out how much the rest of the team matters when it comes to yards per carry. I expect him to be closer to like 4.4 this year.
So I want to tie in something you asked about previously with the question in regard to bench players, upside versus consistency. So I drafted a team this past weekend where I had a decision to make, and it went back-to-back picks. Miles Sanders versus Latavius Murray. You see the situation here. I love my starting group. So I decided to take Sanders, who I think if everything works out right for him, better. Right now, I have Murray ranked higher. But that's to me, was shoot for the stars type of pick. And I think if Sanders hits, he will be better than Murray, barring a Alvin Kamara injury. But I think, you know, again, if you're deciding between players like exactly the way it's ranked after Eckler, because Eckler's on a different category, Sanders, Murray, Geis. The two guys bracketing Murray.
I'm shivering. I'm sorry. I'm
the,
so
the
cold.
Two guys bracketing Murray, and I'll throw Rashad Penny in that conversation too. If everything goes right for them, they should be better than him.
Right.
But Murray is certainly has a higher floor. And again, if Kamara gets hurt, then forget about it. It's a different conversation.
I think if you drafted Alvin Kamara, then your eighth round pick needs to be Latavius Murray.
Well,
it's good value independently.
Yeah, I'm fine with taking Latavius Murray in the seventh round. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait until the eighth and see if he happens to still be there.
Well, do it in the seventh, but
you're not doing that as a Kamara owner.
No. Well, I mean, I will take him as a Kamara owner, but not because I drafted Kamara. Right. I'll just take him in the seventh period.
The seventh is an early pick in the seventh round if you're the Kamara owner. So that's a big difference between the seventh and the eighth round if you're a Kamara owner. But we're talking about a 12-team league. But yeah, all right, take him in the seventh.
I mean, Mark Ingram was a fourth or fifth round pick.
Right, right. Okay, who else?
Three more. D.D. Westbrook. We've talked about him plenty. 93.6 ADP. He's still available in the eighth round. Oh, go get him in the sixth.
The tidal wave.
And then a pair of Browns or Bills. I said, like, I thought of a Bills. Terrible team, and the Browns used to be a terrible team, but now the Bills are. LeSean McCoy at 119th overall. I think he's probably a starting flex the first month of the season. And then this is the most ridiculous ADP in all of fantasy football right now. John Brown, 147th, 13th round. He's the number one wide receiver.
I'll give you a third, yeah. Bill. He has no ADP. Cole Beasley. Were you on with us with Peter, or was that Dave on the show?
Right? Yes.
And Pete.
Why am I going to draft him?
You don't have to, but I'm just saying the fact that he doesn't have an ADP. In the second preseason game, he had five catches on the drive with Josh Allen, and he didn't really have a slot receiver last year like this. I don't think he's going to be a guy that makes or breaks your roster. But if you are in a 14-team league or the 16-team league, you're about to
play. No, no.
That if you're looking for just a late-round guy, if he stays healthy, I think he could – what did Pete say, 80 catches?
Yeah, I believe that was the number.
85 catches.
Which is at least 750 yards.
You forgot someone. DK Metcalf, debilitated knee Metcalf. You forgot him. He's underdrafted.
No.
Yes.
You can pick him up in week five when he starts contributing.
Who's going to be the best? Make your bold prediction. The best rookie receiver this year is going to be DK Metcalf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yours is going to be who?
And it could be him without any of them being good.
Miles Boykin.
You take Boykin.
How about you?
I'll take Debo. I'll go back to what I said after the draft. You know, it's none of them are attractive. There's not one guy that you could say is. You still stand by Metcalf over Lockett in touchdowns?
I mean, as a bold prediction that nobody cares about.
Oh,
sure.
We have a bet.
Crap,
you made a bet with me.
Are you in the podcast league next year if you win the bet? yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, it sucks that he's hurt. Can we do it in only the games they both play? That's fair.
The amount of games that they both play?
Yeah, like in the games.
Touchdowns per game?
No, touchdowns in the games that they both play.
Oh, so Tyler Lockett doesn't get credit for the touchdowns he scores when DK Metcalf's not there.
No, because
why are we only going to count the four games that DK Metcalf plays?
Is it games that he plays or games that he's eligible to play?
Eligible.
Like when he's...
Because he may be sitting on the bench.
Eligible to play. Yeah.
Okay.
So if he's like one of the five, a healthy scratch...
He's my guy. I am going to win the DK Metcalf argument.
Well, it's
going to be glorious for me.
Because like we saw all the pictures of him without a shirt off, and it's just like you.
Yeah, I look at a mirror and I just see DK Metcalf.
You may win the DK Metcalf is the best rookie receiver. If you win the DK Metcalf better than Tyler Lockett, there are going to be a lot of people losing.
More touchdowns than Tyler Lockett. Since I made that bet, I'm a lot higher on Tyler Lockett than I was. He's definitely a guy that you guys have hammered at home, the two of you. He's a riser for sure. And definitely, like, now is a fourth round pick, Tyler Lockett. Is he one in PPR?
Fourth round?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, he's close to a third.
Because remember, receivers get pushed up, you know, so.
Yeah, but he's not a good catch receiver, so he's going to be a little worse.
He might. I'll tell you, it's a struggle for me right now between Amari Cooper and Tyler Lockett, just given that Cooper's hurt.
I will say also, like you say, he's not been a good catch receiver. He's been an exceptional catch rate receiver. So if he gets Doug Baldwin targets, mm-hmm. he will be a good catch receiver.
Doug Baldwin was an up and down catch guy, as I recall.
1-2, 2-1, 1-2.
We're looking at Tyler Lockett's rankings. Okay, so it's a palindrome. No, it's not. So anyway, nobody knows what I'm talking about. Okay, we're going to end the video portion of the show right now. We're going to go into the other room, and we're going to clear way for Cannell and Bell. We're going
to
go
very good, very good Nando email to read. No, I'll save it.
Okay. We're going to go in the other room, and we're going to finish.
I can curse, and then you can have.
No, jeez. No, I don't have. Hate you, Jamie. We're gonna go to the other room. We're gonna finish up the show. We're gonna read some emails. We're gonna talk about players that we don't talk about much. And stick around. This is the video portion of Fantasy Football Today. For those of you watching on video, we'll talk to you on Monday. And we're back. You know what, Jamie? I sat here. I was like, you know, we'll just do 10 minutes. And I thought, no, it's Friday. People are in a good mood. they're going away this week and they have a long car ride. They're driving up 3 hours to Orlando tonight, like me. Let's give them some extra time.
Are you taking the whole family?
No, just taking me. So let's give them a little extra here.
I walked past your brother at the Dolphins game yesterday, but really? I was dragging three kids in tow.
Aww.
And he was walking like – we didn't like exactly walk right past each other. But then my wife recognized your brother, and she said, oh, did you go say hello? And I said, eh.
Not the Gators Miami week. We're not friends this week. Okay, so let's talk about league formats.
Mm-hmm.
10-team leagues, 14-team leagues. What changes for you?
I think it goes back to the kind of the conversation we're having, like guys Latavius Murray versus Miles Sanders, upside versus security. You know, if it's close, you might want to lean on the secure player. So knowing that you have a consistent producer, and when I say close, it's got to be real close for you. You know, so like for me, Miles Sanders and Latavius Murray back-to-back in my rankings. Like I wouldn't take Ronald Jones over Latavius Murray, for example. I don't think there's that much more upside for Ronald Jones. So I would lean toward security in the middle rounds and then take some shots with your late round picks with the deeper leagues.
So I think it's so helpful to have been in deeper leagues and draw from experience. And, okay, in shallower leagues, let me start with this, and then I'll get back to my point. Shallower leagues, do you think it's more important to get an elite quarterback and elite tight end? To try to be elite at every position?
If you can, absolutely. And I think it's also you could take a lot more chances in a shallower league.
I do say the word importance very funny. I don't say the T. I make it a D. I got to change that. I got called out.
Importance?
Yeah, I basically say important. Yeah, I'm not good at that. In deeper leagues, I've brought this up at 14-team podcast league, right? 14-team leagues. And deeper than that, I mean, it's really tough. But I've never heard anybody agree with me necessarily or disagree, but I'd like to get your thoughts. I think it's so important to have running back depth. It's so crucial to have running back depth in deeper leagues. The reason being, once the bye weeks come and the injuries hit, the waiver wire is just barren.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a good player on waivers, everybody wants them. So if you're in a fab league, you know, you got to bid so much. Like a starting running back goes out and the handcuff now becomes valuable and he's on waivers and you're doing fab, everybody's in on him. So that's why I really trend more running back heavy in 14-team leagues. I would never do zero RB, something like that. I'm not saying it's like RB, RB, RB or whatever, but I want to come away feeling like I have at least four running backs I feel comfortable with.
It certainly is a good approach because there's much more receiver depth. And, you know, like we just got finished talking about Cole Beasley. You know, you could throw in guys like DJ Chark if he's healthy, Trey Quinn. You know, I keep saying his name a lot.
Receiver depth in usable players. Whereas we talk about going zero RB is like there's a point in the draft where the running back depth feels better than the receiver depth. But when you just talk about real late, guys that you could just throw on your team, you know, as usable players that can accrue points, much more receivers than running backs in that regard.
You said it for over a year, Willie Snead. You know, in a PPR league, you can say 10 points from him, 5 for 50, and it's not going to crush your roster. So I think you're right in that regard. I would say in a deeper league, you know, feel comfortable drafting quarterback 14 through 20 if you have to.
In a deeper league, right. Yeah, you know, absolutely. Take advantage of that depth.
Because, like, we're going to find out, and we're going to have our podcast league, I believe it's in 5 days, right?
Wednesday night.
Yep, so the 28th. We're recording this on the 23rd. That there's going to be two or three owners that probably take two quarterbacks before, I would say, you, me, Dave, or Heath take one.
Yeah.
The potential's there for that.
I'll be looking for Goff in that league, by the way. Please don't take him. Deep rosters. We don't talk about this a lot, but our IDP league has 10 bench spots?
Mm-hmm.
10 bench spots.
27 rounds we go.
27 rounds, but IDPs? Nine RDPs? Okay, so it's like an 18-round draft with 10 bench spots. We start three receivers and a flex, no kicker, and no DST, but a bunch of defenders. Anyway, I have on my team Cameron Artis Payne and Malcolm Brown. I don't have Christian McCaffrey, and I don't have Todd Gurley. But in a deep roster league, take handcuffs. Because, again, somebody's going to take them, and there's just not going to be much on the waiver wire.
I will say Cameron Artis Payne, if you're looking deep dynasty league, is most likely the second guy through if something happens to McCaffrey. Drink P. Prisco said Marnie Herney, the general manager of the Chargers, of the Panthers, really likes Jordan Scarlett.
Yeah. I thought about it. I mean, I'm not going to take him, but you're right.
I'm talking dynasty, right. Deep dynasty, you know, that type of situation.
Week 17, Cameron Artis Payne had 16 carries for 56 yards and a touchdown. So, like, there are almost no formats in which I want to draft Cameron Artis Payne. But if you have a deep, deep bench, you should get your own handcuff. I screwed up in this draft by not getting Tony Pollard. But, yeah, get your handcuff.
Tony Pollard is going to be an interesting one because I think his draft value now to where his draft value will be in a week could be dramatically different.
Oh, it will be. One way or the other, it definitely will be. But, yeah, I wish I had drafted him. Okay, so to finish up, got another 10 minutes or so. I wanted to just give a shout-out to Michael, who sent us an email. I had my draft last night, had a chance to get Cam Newton and Jordan Reed, both guys I really liked this season, but I was watching the preseason on my NFL Game Pass subscription, and I saw Jordan Reed go out with a concussion and Cam injure his foot, so I faded. Great product. Thanks for recommending. And thank you, Michael. I know I sound like a shill for these products, but the truth is we have great sponsors, and you can get a 7-day free trial. You go to NFL.com/fantasyfootball today. Watch the preseason games this weekend, and watch them on condensed mode if you miss them, because you can watch all you need in 10 minutes per game, basically. Once the starters come out, you stop watching. All right, so those are some formats.
Just to piggyback on what you said about the IDP League, I took all three 49ers running backs.
That's the perfect time to do it. Perfect.
I mean, I'm going to cut Jerick McKinnon, obviously, if he's on IR, but
sure,
short-term IR.
All right, so I'm going to give you stats on... Do I only have four players here? Four or five players? Five players. And I want you to tell me if they matter to you.
Okay.
Julio Jones caught 8 touchdowns. All of them were in the last 9 games of the season.
Doesn't matter.
Roddy White thinks Julio Jones is going to have double-digit touchdowns.
He was adamant. And and Roddy's not just a I'll give you a little background. He is clearly a Falcons guy.
Yeah.
But he's a fantasy player. And so he has his own opinions on how he's going to draft his teams. But he was very adamant that Dirk Koetter coming back is going to help Roddy help Julio Jones score 10-plus touchdowns.
He's probably the number one receiver in fantasy if he scores 10.
I did give some pause to my rankings when he said that.
Yeah. In 8 Jimmy Garoppolo starts, only twice has a running back had more than 3 catches in a game. And both times it was Kyle Juszczyk. In 2017...
You love this.
It's weird.
I think you just like saying Juszczyk names.
In 2017, Carlos Hyde had 59 catches.
I will say this stat
49
matters.
Of them were in 11 games before
Garoppolo. Look at Ben, who's sitting in the room here.
Ben Schrager, producer.
Look, no, just keep staring at him and spell Kyle Juszczyk's last name. All right, good. You can't use that stat ever again.
Okay. Andrew Luck, first 6 games of the season before Marlon Mack became featured. On pace for 4,800 yards, 43 touchdowns on 48 pass attempts per game. Colts went 1-5, allowed 30 points per game. Last 10 games after Marlon Mack became featured, Luck was on pace for 4,500 yards and 37 touchdowns, down from 4,800 yards and 43 touchdowns, also fewer picks. 35 pass attempts per game. Colts went 9-1, allowed 16.4 points per game. They became a running/defense team. Luck was great, but things changed the last 10 games. Does it matter?
If he's healthy, I don't care.
Okay.
Just be healthy.
James White, first 9 games, on pace for 144 targets, 1,362 total yards, and 18 touchdowns.
First nine.
Okay. Last 7, on pace for 96 targets. This is not 9 games versus 7 games. This is 16-game paces in the 2 stretches. On pace for 96 targets, that's 48 fewer, 937 total yards, down from 1,362 total yards, and down from an 18-touchdown pace to a 4-touchdown pace.
Does it kind of go in line with how the Patriots play?
Not really. I don't think so. I couldn't really tell anything specifically.
But, I mean, haven't we seen over the last several years, like, struggle early, get hot middle, run at the end?
Yes. Yeah, I'd say that, so. But this was
I'm not saying this with anything statistically behind it, but yeah, it's just like the feel of they kind of work their way through September. October, November, they get hot. November, December is like, or December into January, it's like they morph into a little bit more conservative run-based team.
Does it matter to you?
With James White?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think he is who he is. You know, this is a guy that if he's on his game, is a top 10 PPR running back, top 15 PPR running back.
Last one. Interesting. Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones played two games together without Golden Tate. And then the rest of the season, Jones got hurt. Kenny Golladay in those two games had 9 catches, 124 yards, and a touchdown on 17 targets. Jones had 9 catches, 121 yards, so almost identical, no touchdowns on 15 targets. However, Marvin Jones got hurt in the fourth quarter or late third quarter in one of the games. That's when 6 of Galladay's targets came. So Jones had 15 targets, Galladay had 11 before the Jones injury in two games together without Golden Tate. I'm not saying Jones is better, but does that make you nervous at all that maybe Galladay isn't that much better than Marvin Jones?
It does. You know, and you mentioned the fantasy footballers' appearance yesterday. They were talking about how much Marvin Jones at his value is better than what Kenny Golladay is at his value. And they're right. I mean, it's just a matter of...
I don't know. I agree with half of it that Marvin Jones is pretty good value. I think that's basically...
It's amazing value.
Yeah, I mean, like a round 9-ish pick. Mm-hmm. I still think Golladay has so much more potential.
Oh, the ceiling should be higher for Golladay. I mean, you know, you look at him, the way that he plays. Can he dominate targets? And, you know, you brought up what's the percentage of him getting to 1,010 touchdowns, I think it was, right? Mm-hmm. When I look at him and watch him play, that's the type of player I think he should be.
Right.
But, you know, it's how is this all going to work? You know, is Kerryon Johnson going to be point A of this offense? You know, number one guy? Or is it going to be what they kind of always talk about and then they kind of morph back into we have to rely on Stafford with his broken back to carry this team? And you bring in TJ Hockenson and Danny Amendola.
You have 3 minutes left. Give me a quick thought on all of these players. I don't feel like we talk about them enough. Carson Wentz.
Top 10 quarterback, stays healthy, could be top 5.
Robert Woods.
Going to fade a little bit based on last year because of Cooper Kupp coming back, but still a very safe number 2 receiver. Touchdowns worry me.
Dak Prescott.
Great fallback option in a deeper league to be your starter, high-end number 2 guy.
I would say, I don't know about significantly, but clearly better in 4-point per passing touchdown leagues.
Better in 4-point per passing touchdown leagues.
DJ Moore.
Hopefully Cam is healthy. Slightly better than Curtis Samuel right now. Hopefully a lot better than Curtis Samuel, but not enough to justify drafting them 4 rounds apart.
Allen Robinson.
Good fallback, number 3 receiver. If he plays 16 games and Anthony Miller is hurt, could be a number 2 guy.
Do you think he gets 1,000 yards if he plays 16 games?
Right around there.
Robbie Anderson.
Breakout season in 2019. Great number 3 receiver with top 20 upside.
He had like about twice as many targets per game, from like 5 to 10, with and without Quincy Enunwa. I don't know if that really matters.
I think if you go to your 14-team league point, if you go running back heavy, you can have a very good, maybe not huge upside, very good receiving core of guys like Robbie Anderson, Allen Robinson, Marvin Jones, Alshon Jeffrey, and then just take some flyers on some guys a little bit after that, John Brown.
That would be some receiving core.
It's not bad.
Let's see. Targets in 10.5 targets per game without Enunwa, only 4 games. 10 games with Enunwa, 5.1 targets per game.
Did Darnold play all of those?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, just a few more. You gotta stump me like that. Embarrass me in front of Ben over here. Just a few more, and now I can't find my notes. Dante Pettis played all of the first team snaps in the second preseason game. How do you feel about Pettis right now?
Nervous.
Is he still a top 100 pick for you?
Just there.
Marvin Jones or Pettis?
Jones. Okay. I took a lot of Dante Pettis stock early. Like my Scott Fishbowl team, he's one of my top receivers, and I hate it.
Justin Tucker.
Great kicker. Great opera singer, apparently, too.
How early would you draft your first kicker? Zerline, Tucker, whatever.
Not anywhere close to the Bryant McFadden scale, who took him in round 10, round 11, I think it was, with Greg Zerline.
Let's say you have a 15-round draft.
I would take my kicker in round 14.
I would consider it round 13. If you have guys in your queue, this happens to me all the time. You have guys in your queue, someone you want, like Deebo Samuel, and you say to yourself...
That's where you go.
Well, okay, someone better. John, whatever. If you say to yourself, nobody else wants this guy. Maybe it's your handcuff. Nobody else wants this guy. I'll just take him in the next round. that's when I take Greg Zuerlein, and I take my defense last. So I take Zuerlein, then that guy that I wanted that nobody else is going to want, and then defense.
So you're saying round 13 of a 15-round draft.
Yeah, okay. Third to last round.
Sure.
If I want a great kicker. All right, thanks so much for listening, everybody.
By the way, I got Nando's email.
Oh, yeah, all right.
So as part of the St. Jude Telethon, we did a draft for the show, and it was initially done as just a mock draft that we could have for content. But as the show unfolded, and I figured, you know, let's do something for St. Jude, and I made the initial offer to the people that were coming on the show, unbeknownst to them, so I kind of put them on the spot and made them uncomfortable. But they all said that they would play it out because I said, I will make a $100 donation for CBS in their name.
Right.
For the winner. So then the footballers, the fantasy footballers, who also have a partnership with St. Jude, they said they will match the $100. Eric Young from the WWE also said he would match. I didn't hear him say this, so I'm going based on you.
He did. Okay. Yep.
So there's now another.
And then I said, I'll do the same thing. And then I was like, okay, now if that feels weird. I feel like I'm stealing your idea. You just do it.
Okay.
But I donated separately.
So everybody's making their, you know, pledges to the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital as a result of whoever's going to win this league. So Nando being Nando, I will bleep out the words so you don't have to edit it for you. So Nando replies back, well, I won't do it in the voice. Well, I guess The Athletic would be bleeped now if we don't match the 102. But we'll donate it in the name of the team with the lowest point total. And not as big of the bleeps as the guy luring us into a mock under the guise of, quote, content fodder, and then pulling the old, quote, played out move. But still, ...
That's very good.
Nando also had, he appeared on the telethon for any of you that missed it. We kept it kind of professional. We talked about his team. He did have a Flanagan's Cup, you know, to bring back his favorite restaurant in South Florida. And so after we got off, I texted him. I said, hey, man, that was awesome. Thanks for coming on. And he goes, oh, I had all these Azer poems.
Yeah, I know.
And it was supposed to be words that rhyme with things that would relate to you. Like, Azer is the meanest.
The meanest. Yeah, I know. Okay. Well, that's it. Prediction for tomorrow?
What did I say? 31-20 Florida?
Yeah, you're way off. 31-10 Florida. It's going to be a runaway.
I mean, you're sandbagging.
It's going to be a runaway. Lowering my expectations.
I hope you enjoy yourself. I hope that
I will.
I hope both teams play well, and for your sake.
Sure.
And I hope that whoever wins comes out of this with some answers to the questions about what their teams will look like long term, because conference play will obviously matter more in the long run.
I'm not opposed to wearing the Giants onesie on Monday on the show, by the way. I brought it with me. I thought I might wear it today, but...
Is that a bet you made?
No, but I think it would be funny.
You just want to wear it?
Kind of, yeah. But I looked at it today and said, actually, I'm not sure I want to wear it. But we'll see.
You should have worn it for the telethon while everybody's all dressed up.
Yeah, but it wasn't 80s enough. All right, we got to go. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for tuning into this extended edition.
We
got to
go. You at least say it the right way.
We na 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 na.
Gotta go by this. That other stick.